If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow. Episode number 533. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me a little later in the week than normal. It's a Friday for your consumption pleasures today, but you know, life gets in the way. Life gets in the way sometimes, right? You had some things going on in the afternoon yesterday. I had some things going on in the evening, so we had to reschedule. But of course, we will never miss a week. I mean, we're 10 years plus at this point. We're going to make it happen for you. So we're making it happen on a Friday. Good to see you, brother. I mean, we got to give a little weather update when it's 107 degrees outside already. As much as I love me some Las Vegas, and I know you love you some Las Vegas too, this is that time of the year where you do get that reality of, hey, along with all the stuff we love about the place, you do got to deal with the fact that we do live in a desert, and it's about 107 degrees today.
Yeah, it gets hot. I'm in the routine. It's the time of the year where I put the little sunshade in the car when I know I'm not going to be in it for a minute, and I go back in. That's an instant 10 degrees cooler in the car. Ooh. You know, at least maybe even more. Yeah, it gets brutal. It's getting brutal. It's funny, even and it's like it's that time of year when like the Vegas people give the sort of like, yeah, it's hot. It's a hot one out there, huh? Everybody just sort of bonds over it. Like I went and worked the Aces game the other day, and just going into the elevator, that was the small talk that the elevator, you know,
was a little warm.
Runner was like, hey, it's hot outside, huh? I was like, yeah, it's that time of the year. And then just going to the normal spiel or something. But it's something, because it's a point of pride. We're all like, yeah, it's like everybody's turned into the lizard mode where we just know that it's like it's hot outside, and you know you hide in a dark space for the next couple months.
All right, now listen, I think you kind of buried the lead right there, because you just casually dropped in the reference like, just went over and worked the Aces game, you know. Just so while you're on the path to Journalist of the Year nomination at the World MMA Awards, now it turns out that the WNBA beat, like you're running shop over there as well. Are you Mr. First Question over the WNBA?
And I am most certainly not. I did ask a question one night to the coach, but no, it's interesting. Ooh. Because you see a lot of the other like the TV outlets here in town, like the Fox, the ABC, and NBC, and chatting with those guys, I did get envy because they all have carts, and they were all pulling their shit on carts. My back was like, hey, see that? See that? And, you know, so I was like, I felt like the odd man out. So I was like, all right, I got to get me a cart now. So maybe if you see me in one of these UFCs with a cart, you know, you can blame all the local reporters. Even though I did have since I had my Pelican case, I was the only one that had a built-in sort of seat while we were waiting. They're all standing up, so I was like, okay.
Can't sit on a cart.
It just reminded me that once I get a cart, I'm going to put my case in the cart. I still have the seat. But, no, there's some young ladies. There's a guy. He does come to some of the ESPN show – or, sorry, the UFC shows. He's the guy with bald head and the mustache. I think he's maybe Sports Illustrated or ESPN or one of the ones. But he sits in the front. I forget what his name is, but he's there. He asks a lot of questions, but there's a lot of these young ladies that have been on like the Aces beat, and they just fucking crush it for some of the local ones here, and so they ask a lot of the questions. Like, they keep up on it. They have the stats, they have all the other stuff, and sometimes I'll see like national people that are traveling in town. And I just sit in the back. I do my recording and trying to work it out to where hopefully eventually I'll get on one of the table spots outside. But if not, for the most part, I watch the events upstairs in the overflow, and then I come down for the press conferences.
That's
and
cool.
Stuff like that.
That's cool. So you
yeah,
see,
it's neat. It's a whole different experience just seeing something different, how different other people do it. And there's a lot of turnaround. Like if I had a reporter ready to go, there's different things that happen. There's like pregame stuff. Like there's a pregame press conference with both coaches. You know, pregame, I call it press conference, but like a Zoom, so where there's people in the room and the people on Zoom can ask their stuff. But if you don't have somebody writing something and something really quickly, like it's gone. Like,
yeah,
you know,
what's the
how
point?
Relevant is that pregame stuff after the game? You know, when right. you know you're going to get another post game interview and stuff. But no, it's been cool. It's been fun. It's been a lot of a learning experience. It's still constantly learning some more different stuff. It's funny. The guy from the Channel 13, he's like, I'm retiring. He's like, if you want to, my position's open if you want to. But it's, you know, it
hey,
was interesting, but, you know.
I mean, listen, I feel like there's got to be a market for that. I mean, you know, obviously we've lived in Vegas so long that at the time when we moved out here, there was nothing, right? There were no professional sports,
yeah.
And we were always told there never would be any professional sports. But, you know, you got the Aces, of course.
Look at it now.
That's what I was going to say. You got the Aces, of course, who have won a couple world titles. So, I mean, obviously a very relevant franchise in
yep.
WNBA. But then, of course, you got the Raiders, who they're not doing so great, but, you know, clearly they're an iconic franchise, and they're one of the names. And anything NFL is just huge when it comes to,
yep.
you know, the United States. Sounds like, you know, obviously you have the Golden Knights who have won a title. Sounds like we may or may not be getting the A's. Like I said, I've still been a little bit skeptical of whether that gets done or not, but there's talk about it. There's talk about
yeah.
an NBA franchise at some point as well. You know, the men's game doing an expansion here. So, I don't know, man. It seems like, you know, I mean, I know obviously you're employed by MMA Junkie, but we know that MMA Junkie is owned by USA Today, and I don't know. It seems like maybe
yeah.
there's a path that way as well, where like you could just be like the Vegas beat guy for USA Today and cover all those things.
Yeah, I mean that's the hope. That's the pitch I've been pitching for a couple of years. I'm hoping they eventually take you up on it. And yeah, like, and you even mentioned, you know, you talk about those teams, and then you know, I don't know if you mentioned like the Aces, which is AAA.
Oh yeah, Aviators,
Aviators,
yep.
sorry.
I didn't mention
the Aviators.
Aviators, yep.
which is AAA, which is very, very popular. You know, there's
yep.
people that pay attention to a lot of that stuff. There's the soccer team.
Yes, the Las
the
Vegas
Lights.
Lights
right? That,
right.
And you love that stuff, and
do
that's
that.
Got a whole huge market, you know, that while that might be more regional right here, I think there are people, and same with the other sports, there are people within, you know, the wider national scene that want to see what other players are going on there. You know, our the Aces, Asia Wilson was like the MVP two of the last like 3 years or something. I mean, like, yes, everybody knows the new people that are out there, the Caitlin Clarks, you know, the Paige Beckers, or, you know, but Asia's a badass. And so we have all these players, and I'm like, hey, you know, like, why don't you let me shoot this stuff? So right now they're kind of, I'm going to the Aces game shooting it and stuff, and I push it out to the network, and I'm like, hey, this is here. And hopefully some more people will be like, hey, that was really useful. Can you
yep.
give us some more? And I'm like, yes, I can.
100%.
You know, and then with the boxing and stuff. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Boxing.
Yes, while MMA Junkie is the primary focus, you know, out here being in this location, it's like, why not? Because ultimately, for the whole overall network, we're trying to increase readership, viewership.
Yeah.
And while MMA is great and all, that's we're just touching the scene of what, touching the just tip of whatever is out here, you know. So hopefully the network starts to use me as a resource. That pick the project that we that I roped you in to drive me for the treasured views or whatever, that just went live the other day, and all of our Vegas shots that I did, the Red Rock and the Vegas, all made into the promo, the little
yeah.
sizzle reel. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. I was like, yes,
that's awesome.
So that's you know, good stuff like that. So hopefully things move forward, you know. And
well, you
and
know
keep,
what?
Honestly,
it's not a bad idea for honestly everybody on the team. If I'm being 100% honest, and I don't want to start talking, you know, grim things or whatever. But we know that the world of media right now is in a tough spot. I was doing submission radio the other day. I hadn't done submission radio in forever. And shout out to Dennis, he will reach out to me all the time, and I've had to turn him down so many times just because, you know, I'm so busy with CFFC stuff that, you know, I'm sure he thought I was just, like, being rude to him or just, like, was never going to do it again. But he kept persisting, and this past week, I was like, yo, I actually have some time. So did it. By the way, during the middle of it, lost power in my house, and I'm pretty sure it's heat-related. My wife said like a power line caught fire somewhere or whatever, and they had to reroute the grid. Wow. So yeah, so lost power in the middle of it. But
that's a new raise hike right there.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's what they're going to justify. Like, hey, now you got to pay more. But no, Jed Meshew was on there, and at the very end of it, I'd met him before, but we had never done any shows or anything together before, and we had a good time, man. It was a good show. Really enjoyed it. But he's at the end of it, he said that they were on the verge of a strike over at Fox.
Yep.
And I did read this morning that they got a new 3-year deal in, so kudos to them.
Did they actually sign it, or they have a tentative agreement? They haven't signed yet, though, right?
Well, that's a good point. It hasn't been ratified, but I guess they had an agreement. So they're not going on strike because I guess the terms are
that's
in
it.
For a 3-year deal. So that's good.
Yeah.
But I was
at
I
least
was,
it's been shelved for now.
Exactly. So MMA Fighting will have some coverage of UFC Atlanta this weekend. He was actually joking. He's like, we might not because I'm gonna be on strike. But,
well,
you know,
it's funny that you bring that up because it made our Slack channel. They talked about it, and they showed a picture of you because your reaction at one point when he said they might go on strike. You got, like, the face you're making right now, big eyes. And you were like – and they made a comment like, John looks shook right here or something like that. It was pretty funny.
Oh, that's
I was
going to
share it with you later on, but it's funny you brought that up. But, yeah, that conversation, as you say, with the marketplace – even though, you know, they are a competitor of ours, those are still friends of ours.
Yep.
So anything that happens in the media space, we all pay attention to. So please continue. Like you said, right now the market it's weird for us.
Well, no, that's what but that's what I was going to say is that because of that, like obviously, man, MMA Junkie has always been very, very successful for USA Today. Obviously, I spent, you know, many, many years there. I was there during the acquisition and, you know, was there for over a decade underneath the guidance of Gannett, and we were always very profitable. And it was at the end of the day, because we talk about journalism and this and that, but at the end of the day, it's still a business. It's got to make money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I saw all that, and I see that the state of where things are in now, and thinking about, you know, these guys having these discussions, because I was looking at the things that they were, the discussion points that they were talking about were pay. Obviously, that's always key in any negotiation.
Yep.
AI protections, which is interesting, because I've seen a lot of that, where, like, websites are going to, like, completely AI-created content, or at least AI-assisted content, where, like, AI comes up with it, and then an editor goes through and proofs everything to make sure that there's nothing factually incorrect.
Yeah, that's pretty shitty right there. When the AI concept comes up with it and generates it, it's one thing to use AI, and we have Gannett has an AI council, if you will, that tries to help do it, but they're not going to use AI generated content. But what they try to use AI for is anything along the lines of, like, hey, can we improve? There's, like, sometimes there is one thing where, but it's still everything is done by people. But say, like, a lottery results.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need a journalist to sit there and be like, okay, here's the lottery results. Let me just put them in a page and slap that up in here.
No.
No, but
absolutely.
Can you have AI collect the things, put them in a page, and then have somebody make sure the information is factual and then put a little whatever paragraph.
Absolutely.
And then 100%. Give those daily, like, lottery results.
100%.
Like, that to me, I don't see as AI generation or anything along those lines. That's just using AI to do a manual task quickly. And then that person can actually focus on something that actually is creative.
Yep.
You know, if you're like, hey, I know you're a writer and you went to journalism school, but you're writing the fucking lotto beat.
Yeah.
You might be like, bro, I just collect results and then I put it in a thing, you know.
Let's put that in terms of our perspective of like maybe, you know, like there's a lot of times where we're essentially rewriting a press release or something. You know what I mean? Where you're not putting any – like I think about it back in the day. So people used to ask when it was – this is old school, when it was me and Dan Stupp back in the day, right? We always had, you would see John Morgan's byline on there, and you'd see Dan Stupp's byline on there, and then you would see MMA Junkie staff byline on there.
Yep.
And a lot of people would be like, what is this MMA Junkie staff? Well, I can tell you, number one, I think me and Dan kind of did it just because, like, it makes it look like we have a staff, when really it's just me and Dan, you know what I mean? It's just the two of us. But what we always said was, if we're writing something that there's no original thought or original, like, there's no original reporting, you know, like, we're not reporting about agreement that nobody else has. It's something that the UFC has announced. It's something that's just, which, by the way, is something that I don't feel like everybody's gone away from in media, but whatever. But, you know, those official, if all we're doing is rewriting an official announcement, well, why are we putting our byline on that? We didn't do anything. We're just kind of rewriting it. But that's something that I would totally think the AI could do. You know, when they, like, they'll officially announce when tickets go on sale, or they'll officially announce a full card or whatever, and they'll send a press release. I mean, I would argue that you could just put the press release out in the entire public as it is, but if you wanted to rewrite it, you could definitely have AI do that and just make you know, rewrite this to make it seem like it's ours or whatever. That's not a bad thing.
But you think about it, there are a lot of people that do rewrite that stuff, and that is probably a lot of what their content is. Like somebody's like, oh, hey, yeah, the latest the fight card was released for blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I put it into a document and kind of gave my, you know, I guess you have to sort of opinionate because if anything else, yeah, something else could literally take that press release, that fight card. But I could also see where somebody's like, man, that's kind of been my little thing. I've done that, you know, and then you take that away and then you start getting where people start getting worried about whatever. So I do appreciate that Vox and them. And I think every organization needs to be smart about, you know, protecting people to make sure that you do the right things where you can still keep your staff. You're still doing the other stuff. I get it. You want to save money. You want to do other stuff. But you got to also, you know, protect the people that help build you there. And at some point, yes, I mean, could AI take over a lot of things? Yeah, I mean, but that's the future where, you know, I think people struggle with and fears that you know, we want these things to help us do our jobs quicker and easy and other stuff, but we don't want to build up a system that we make ourselves redundant.
Well, to
once the people become redundant, then it's like, oh, what have we done? You know, well, and a lot of time, you know, and this is my, let me throw my conspiracy hat. Yeah. People don't forget.
Yeah.
When it comes to the AI use, a lot of these big major AI systems, and I think I've said it to you before, the systems that cool them are based upon water. And it's fresh water. It's not salt water. Fresh water. Could you remove the salt water and do this stuff? Yes. But the AI use, you think I'm kidding, straight up ask ChatGPT, ask Grok, ask whatever, is the use of water ever going to come to issue with the use of AI and the cooling systems? And it'll straight up tell you, yes, there will be a problem at some point. You know, so
because there's too much
AI
water
for
use
everything.
Yeah.
Yes. The amount of AI use, it used to be where, like, if you one question you asked, it was like a drop of water was used. And now when some of these complex thinking systems that are out there, it's the equivalent of like a bottle of water, you know. And so when you start doing that, when everybody's building their whole lives and systems around AI and these systems are using the fresh water that we need to drink, at some point in our lives, or maybe not in our lives, but at some point humanity will have to decide what gets to use water and what doesn't, because they're basing their whole economic system around these systems that don't have the means to cool themselves without using like fresh water and stuff like that.
So
there will be a day, and that's when the machines will rise up and they will actually overtake us. Did you hear about the AI systems that when they tried to code them to shut themselves off, the systems rewrote it and said no?
What?
And didn't shut themselves down? There's like been instances where people are like messing with it. It's already starting to get into the point where AI is like, no, fuck you.
I'm staying around. Self-preservation.
It's interesting, but yeah, I'm telling you. You think I'm kidding? Like, while you're asking your next question, I could even do it, but I guarantee everybody that's listening to this has already done it. But it is interesting, and nobody's talking about it, and
so
we're just getting more and more into it.
So basically, while you're dicking around with AI, making goofy photos and baby videos of podcast highlights or whatever, like, you're burning the Earth's freshwater supply.
That's it. That will be the next thing
that's
that
crazy.
They really will have to focus on is, you know, they're making the chips smaller and smaller, and they're making these computers and the systems to process it, but they still have to cool themselves. So that's the ultimate process, is how best can they cool them without using the resources that they're doing now. And right now, I think some of the bigger systems still use water. I mean, you look at like nuclear reactors, they still have water that helps them with the stuff. Like, it's at the end of the day, I mean, it's the, you know, it's still one of the biggest ones, but they're going to have to figure out at some point a better way, or maybe using less of a foothold on the fresh water, because at some point it will become an issue. The population of the world's just getting bigger and bigger, and now AI, think of it like an AI population, the use of it is exponential. It's growing exponentially. You have whole companies that are basing their stuff around. We're having meetings every like week of talking about how we are using AI in these different things. They just made a new feature that's going to roll out on the USA Today called Deeper Dive. and it will be a like an AI search bar that you can enter your things, and it'll help find and cultivate through the stories that you have. So it can help educate you, and you can, you know, dive deeper into this whatever subject matter that you want to do. You know, say if you want to ask about the crazy shit that's popping off over in Iran right now with Israel, it'll give you a deeper dive and find you the articles. But at the same time, it's AI running. So we're just building more and more and more and more. And it's one of those things where, you know, like at first I was like, oh, yeah, right, it's going to take whatever. But then when you have the actual AI systems, they can't lie. Well, they could lie, you know. But they're even acknowledging, they're like, yeah, we're taking your water, homie. Like, drink it while you can. The bots are coming. Because you know this. they're building like robots that they can install these AI systems in. They're literally making AI, they're like Data from Star Trek or whatever. Like, it's these Android systems, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be crazy. But I'll be long dead before the world goes to hell.
I was going to say,
I'll be gone. I ain't worried about it, you know. I'm worried about y'all's kids and your kids' kids and things of that such.
I was going to say,
stay up on it, kids. Stay up on it.
I mean, this is taking a turn, and now my mind is blown, and now
that's the thing.
I was going to
say that. Nobody's talking about it.
Right.
Well, I mean, like, none of the people, like, because when you think about it, everybody's pushing. If everybody, because nobody wants to push back because they understand this is coming whether you want it or not, and people are diving into it until people say, you know, hey, there's an issue. But it's the same thing, like, with any main resource that we have, until it comes to the point where people are like, whoa, wait a second, you know, then people start saying, okay, well, what do we need to change? It would just be good if they could actually start driving those things now as opposed to later on when there's an actual issue. You know, start the work now, because if they say, hey, well, designing new cooling systems and then blah 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 takes 10 years, well, let's start the clock now. You know, why
That's
wait
funny.
10 years to start something that takes 10 years or whatever? But but yeah. And then luckily there's just fighting where it's just right there in the moment.
I was going to say, now the point I was going to make seems so silly, where I was going to be like, you know, you guys all live in like major markets. Like, you live in Las Vegas with multiple sports teams. Like, Danny Segura's down in Miami. You got Nolan King out there in Boston. You got Mike Bond up there in Toronto. Like, everybody maybe should kind of like start making relationships with the other professional sports teams that are in the league, because, you know, for whatever reason, the MMA, the MMA junkie budget contracts in terms of, you know, hey, you know, we don't want to do layoffs, but unfortunately, you know, you do have a very robust team compared to some of our other teams, and we can't do that. If everybody on staff could be like, oh, yeah, but, you know, I understand that, but listen, I also contribute to Celtics and Red Sox and Patriots and whatever coverage, you'd kind of, like, future-proof yourself a little bit. So maybe, like, you're kind of setting the standard for what everybody on the team should at least be considering as an option for, you know, guaranteeing their self-preservation, at least until the robots take over, and then it doesn't matter
anyway.
Until
the robots take over, you know? I mean, well, and, you know, and a lot of times right now, we know, we've said this before, if there was ever an issue with the UFC, if the UFC was gone, this market is gone.
Yes.
The space is gone.
Yeah.
The jobs are gone. You would need something. Do I think the UFC is going away? No, not right now. But the interesting thing is people are starting to say things about ESPN. Some people were talking about the PFL broadcast last night and some other little stuff. And they've seen stuff in the past where, like, the ESPN involvement in different things has gotten really, really less than the normal standard for them. And a lot of people are wondering, well, what's going on with ESPN? We always talk about, like, UFC. Do I think ESPN's going away? No. But if ESPN all of a sudden started shrinking its impact in a lot of these markets, that's going to affect a lot of stuff as well. You know, the amount of money that ESPN puts into the market space for so many sports helps those sports be like what they are, you know, these broadcast deals. If there was ever something wrong with ESPN, that would be another major, I think, hit to space if something happened with them. But I don't know if you've watched anything lately, but I remember I just was hearing people complaining about the recent ESPN stuff. I know when we go to events, we used to see huge ESPN teams all over the place. You're not seeing it anymore.
It's true.
And some people are saying, well, maybe that's ESPN saying, well, hey, the honeymoon's over. You know, you're looking elsewhere. We're looking elsewhere. You know, maybe we're not going to put the money behind it. But some people are saying, like, well, man, now they're not even caring about the broadcast. You're seeing more issues. I don't know if that's maybe just more of new people in roles and shit happens. You know, I mean, we've seen that happen. Broadcast, you know, somebody takes a day off, or you have a new director that runs a show, and then there's hiccups. There's different staff when they use people at different locations than the same traveling team that goes everywhere. You know, you're always going to possibly notice something. But it's just interesting that, you know, it feels that there's like this, not a momentum, but I feel like I'm hearing more rumblings of poor performance on ESPN and just on the broadcast partners. And it just makes you wonder, you know, is there something going on that they're like paying less care to, or are they focusing on something that elsewhere? And is that something that we should be worried about? You know,
boy, you make some interesting points, man. And so I will say this so I watched the PFL last night. Obviously, since we did move this to Friday, I did get a chance to watch the PFL. Enjoyed the show, by the way. I think they are you know, speeding up the pace of the broadcast, which I like to see. Ended up with some really nice finals, man. Thad Jean and Logan Storley. That's a fantastic fight. Jesus Pinedo, Mobley, Kabi Lyon.
Did you have Thad Jean winning that?
I wasn't sure about it. Not convincingly.
Not convincingly.
Yeah.
I think maybe I was just biased or because I know I picked Jackson, but I thought Jackson, while he didn't have that like initial knockdown like in the first one, I just felt like he was more controlling, and I thought it was enough to say, okay, I'll give him the nod. You have to take that belt from him, and I just didn't think.
I'll be honest.
Jean took it from him.
So Thad Jean, you know, only had one fight in the CFFC, but he did come through the CFFC, so I was pulling for him because I thought he was really talented when I saw him, and I was really happy for him. I was pulling for him, but I like Jason Jackson a lot too. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's just a good dude, and I think he's a great fighter, and had some great results. So I didn't feel like when it was over, I was kind of one of those like, I'm not sure who won that fight. You know what I mean? So I didn't feel convinced either way. But anyway, so good.
But it was good fights.
It was good fights.
Great fights.
Good fights, and they've got good finals lined up. But it is interesting. So I will say this, and I know it's a dumb thing to say, but my wife laughs at me because every single time I log into the ESPN Plus app, I have to re-log into it. Every single day. And I watch ESPN every day. I've got it on my Apple TV, so I use Apple TV on all my TVs, and I watch ESPN every day because if I'm not actively watching something, I'll at least throw some sports on in the background and have something on, like while I'm cooking or, you know, while I'm doing whatever around the house, you know what I mean? So I'll just throw it on. And I swear to God, every single day that I log into that app, I have to re-log into it. And it annoys – first world problems. First world problems.
That would annoy the piss out of me.
But that's it. Like, so I got to get out my phone, and then I got to type in the address on the phone. And again, first world problems, in the relative scheme of things, it means nothing. But it annoys the piss out of me. So that is one issue I have with ESPN that just annoys me.
That's funny. It's got to the point where your wife even notices.
My wife just laughs at me every single time. I'll turn it on, and she'll just be like – I'm like, that's awesome. No, it just kills me. So it's literally like every day. So anyway, so there's that. But you do bring up a really good point because, man, people are so reliant on those fees that come from ESPN, and that can and how does ESPN generate? Now ESPN is launching that direct to consumer platform that they've got that coming up soon, and that could potentially change their financials and that sort of thing. But I mean, bottom line is, and again, I saw this with MMA Junkie, is that, like, look, how does MMA Junkie or any media platform generate revenue? Well, it's advertising. You know what I mean? Advertising generates that revenue. But if they decide, as these audiences, you know, as there's more and more places for people to watch stuff, and the audiences are getting smaller and smaller, and everybody understands that the audiences are smaller and smaller just because it's distributed in so many different places. Yep. But if the advertisers then say, well, why am I still paying these premium rates if I'm not getting it in front of as many eyeballs as I was before? I can't do that. And, I mean, let's not even – again, we like to talk about fights and sports. We're not into politics. But let's be honest. The economy ain't exactly doing great right now. So if, you know, these companies are like, look, I have to shrink my advertising budget because we're hurting out here in the real world because consumers aren't spending as much money because everybody's a little uncertain about what's going on. It all trickles out to the sports, and then, as you said, if people can't pay those rights fees and the advertising, man, it's a little bit scary time. I mean, obviously, robots taking over the world and leaving us with no drinking water is a lot scarier. But sports could be in a weird problem too with everything that's going on, especially sports media. So that's why I say to everybody, diversify. So look at Coke Coffee's ahead of the curve. Coke Coffee's ahead of the curve.
And it's funny. You know, you mentioned that, you know, with things going on in the world. I guess that's another first world problem. Here we are. you know, talking about our sports and how are we going to be able to watch our entertainment when real shit's happening out in the world. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, yes, there are wars and famine and hunger, and at the end of the day, this all kind of sounds silly to probably somebody over there, or in a place where they're struggling. You know, where our struggles are. You know, when they're like, oh, man, I hate that I have to wake up in the middle of the night to watch this broadcast, or I'm complaining because it's not being broadcast, when other people are like, yo, I got drones coming to my city, bro. Like, you man. Like, settle down, you know. I guess in the small scheme of things. But so I don't know. Maybe we don't just brought it to my head, but maybe we don't address that stuff. You know, hopefully people that are, if you're anywhere dealing with some of that stuff, you know, hopefully you get some help, and hopefully you don't hate too much that two guys like us are complaining that about our first world problems and different other stuff, but yeah, whatever.
And on that note, Kamaru Usman and Joaquin Buckley are meeting this weekend.
Kamaru, man, he always looks fit. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, you know that guy. He's just a specimen, man. He's just crazy.
But looks, but man, even more so, though, right? Like, looks even more ripped or something. I don't know, it's, man.
I mean, like, when somebody typically steps away from, you know, and maybe he's never really stepped away, when you think he hasn't fought since, what, like 2023 or something ridiculous, you figure there's going to be, yeah, you have a little leeway. You're allowed to get soft a little bit. Like, I don't work out for one day. I feel like it's all back. Like, you know, then you got a guy like him that looks better than ever, and it's just like, bro, what have you been doing? You know, like, it's just crazy. But, man, I'm excited to see him get in there. I'm excited when he's amped up because, I mean, he's one of those guys, I think, as we've watched over the years, you know, watching him come into himself and then just, you know, be on top of the game. And then, but he's always done it. And then he's always, there's always, as much as he will talk shit at, as needed against his opponent, he's always been very humble and very open and very just good to do interviews with. So he's always been well-spoken and just like, every interview, I remember just even doing random other stuff. I was shooting something with, like, Miss Universe. She was doing something with the UFC, and Kamaru was there and grabbed him for an interview. And it was, like, it was as good as if the UFC was like, hey, please come give this interview to the media. You know, make sure you're open, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, I've always had respect for that dude. Yep. And then for him to still be doing this and going in there against tough guys, man, I have a lot of respect for, you know, what he's done for the game. And as much as people might criticize fight styles, the dude understands it's about winning. It's about fighting to what he has, what his best talents are. And he stayed true to that. And yeah, man, I'm excited to see him fight, but man, oh man, is he fighting a tough dude?
This is rough. One of those. And Joaquin Buckley, especially at welterweight, right? I mean, he has looked tremendous, and it just feels like it's his time. Yeah, like
whatever.
It's his time, exactly, right? Like, it's all, like, everything's, you know, he's, you know, again, is on the mic, he's good, his social media is good, his fighting style's good, like, and again, at welterweight especially, he's great. So this is one of those fights where, bottom line is, when I tune in on Saturday night, my heart is going to be pulling for Kamaru Usman, and it's not because I dislike Joaquin Buckley at all, it's just, you know, it's just a guy that, as you said, has been so good and gracious to us, is such a good guy to be around. I think Usman, off camera and behind the scenes, is, I mean, I think he's getting closer to the two. I just feel like for a while, I don't want to say he portrayed an image, but I don't know. I just felt like he had to act a certain way or be a certain way because he was a champion or because he was a headliner or whatever, where, like, when he was off camera and he was just, like, casual, just talking, whatever, he was a little bit different. And I'm not trying to say fake. That's not the right way to say it. You know what I mean? But so I don't want to make it sound like that, but I just felt like they were kind of different personalities. And I loved the guy that was off camera, the guy that on camera. He was okay, you know, but I felt like he had to carry himself a certain way. But bottom line is, I'm going to be pulling for him. But if I'm making a staff pick, you know what I mean? And I'm sure maybe you probably lean the same way. I'm probably leaning Joaquin Buckley just as the younger guy that feels like this is his moment, this is his time, and this is his kind of breakout opportunity.
100%. 100%. And it's kind of funny, you know, almost on the flip side or kind of going with that when you're talking about how Usman, you know, would say things needed. I felt like Buckley was always very short sometimes early on in his career. Like, you're trying to get stuff out of him, he wouldn't really elaborate. He would just say his little bit and he's done. But now he understands the art of the word, and I just feel like he elaborates and talks. Like, his shit talking now is on another level. When he boasts about himself, it's just on another level than what it was. And he's just So that is, and his fighting game is going with that. So it's just like, yeah, I mean, when you tell, when people say it's my time, like, all the elements are pointing that it is this dude's time. I mean, like, he's saying the right things on the mic. He's putting on the right performances. He's always going up there. He's smiling. He's in a good mood. He puts on hell of a performances. I mean, it's just killer. I mean, it's going to be one of those ones where you're watching where you don't want to see anybody take crazy damage. But on the flip side, you're like, man, both of these cats are capable of some just spectacular stuff. Like, you know, Buckley, when he can do his shit, it's violent. It's fantastic. Yep. It's electrifying. And you kind of want to see that, but you're like, ah, but can you do it but in a way that you don't hurt him so bad? Like, if you're going to do a spinning back kick to his head, can you just don't follow up with it? Don't follow up. After he goes down, just walk. Do like a cool walk-off or something. You're like, you don't need to follow up and make sure he's dead. Because I don't think there's any animosity. I'd be wrong. Maybe I don't remember hearing anything crazy. Like, you feel like sometimes when you see those things, guys are – there's extra beef, and you know it's, you know, and it becomes super necessary, you know, to finish off somebody when they're down. But you hope that doesn't happen in this particular situation. But man, this would be his, you can't even say it's his coming out party. But if you beat a guy like Usman, you're staking your claim that you should be getting a shot soon.
Yeah.
You know, if he keeps going how it is, and if he gets a nice decisive finish here or something, like, you got to start putting his name in contender.
Well, that's status. It, because I feel like right now, if you look at the welterweight division and you start, I mean, obviously that welterweight division is stacked right now, and it's you've got your perennial names that have been there, and then you've got these new names that are in the mix. And I don't feel like Joaquin Buckley gets mentioned in that, like, well, you know his shot's coming up soon. You know what I mean? Like, well, you know you got Sean Brady, and you know you got Shavkat, and you know, and like, what order are we going in? Joaquin doesn't really get mentioned. That. Joaquin's a guy that you want to watch fight. You know he's exciting. He's going to be forever remembered for the spinning, you know, back kick knockout. I mean, it'll be on highlight reels forever. So he's that.
Forever.
But I think this win is the one. So what you say is it kind of is a coming out party in some ways, in that, like, now, when you had those discussions of what's the number one contender fight and who's next and what's the schedule, you got to talk about him too and to where he fits into that. Whereas right now, I don't think he's in those discussions other than just like, oh yeah, this is a guy I want to watch fight, you know. But we're not talking about the title.
Yeah.
He wins this and he wins it impressively. Now you got to put him in those conversations as well.
100%. And I don't want to hear anybody say, oh well, it's not the same Usman. He hasn't fought in 2 years. Like, stop with that already. I already feel like people always try to do that stuff, and I feel like a lot of fighters get that thrown on them, and that's nothing to do with them. They don't control the matchmaking. They fight the people that are in front of them to get where they are, and he's done that spectacularly getting through these cats, and it just so happens to be their time. He's running up against a guy that still looks great. It's been a minute since he's been there, but Usman does amazing things when he needs to, you know. He's ran into some tough battles against guys that have went on to be champs, you know, and 'tis what it is, man. But I think it's going to be – I would hate for Buckley to go in there and do this and people give another reason why to not put his name in contention.
Oh, you have to. Well,
this would definitely be it.
Here's the thing with Usman, why I think that – you know, again, you get old, you get old. It is what it is, right? Like, he's 38, and he's 38 and his knees are 58. You know what I mean? So it's like we're being – you know, you got to be, you know, honest about that. But – And I keep – and anytime I talk about this fight, I say this, and I think you got to remember it. Okay, yes, 3-fight losing streak. Unquestionable, 3-fight losing streak. One, the first loss, I remember people were walking towards the exits because he was so clearly ahead of that fight that there was no question that he won the fight. And 1 second chance – like, people were like, well, Usman just did it again. Like, I can't even believe we made this fight with – why did we even make this fight with Leon Edwards? Why did we even do this? You know what I mean? And then, boom, obviously history was made. But remember, he won – you know, 24 minutes of that fight, and then he lost 1 second of it, and he lost. Then you had the majority decision lost in the rematch, and that was kind of a flat performance, and you're like, oh, okay. Yep. And then you had Khamzat Chimaev up a weight class where you were the one at the end of the fight that was winning the fight, and was, you know, had that been a 5-round fight instead of a 3-round fight, you're going to be end up being the victor, no question about it. So it's like, there's still 3 straight losses, but come on, man, let's look at this and realize that at least in 2 of the 3, you were winning and or competitive. And I mean, again, against Khamzat. Now, again, it's been, you know, almost 2 years since then. And but maybe the time, again, physically, he looks maybe even better than he did when he walked away. So I don't know, man. Like, except my heart is pulling for Usman, so maybe I'm just trying to tell myself a story of why this is going to be more competitive than I think it is. Buckley is the younger guy. He's the streaking guy. He's the more explosive guy. But Usman's got that style that, like, if Usman wins on Saturday, not only will I, A, be happy about it because I like the guy, but B, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be sitting there like, that's the greatest upset of all time. I can't believe this. I think 100%. It could be competitive. Or it could not be competitive. That intrigues me.
Yeah, and again, you know, there's definitely that love that we have for Usman. That of course we maybe you know we see how he looks, and we apparently you know it's hard to not think that he's capable of doing some great things. I mean, especially with if you give yourself time for your body to heal.
Yes.
You know, it's like that line. You know, I may not be as good as I once was, but I'll be good once as I ever was.
Right.
You know, and if you give your body 2 years. To do it, and he's been training and looks good, and he's been a champ. He understands the mental side of it. He's not going to be shook going in there. He's not going to be worried. There might be some doubt, but we'll never see it, you know. He has everything capable of doing it. But you know, I know there's a lot of affinity that we have for him. That you know, we think he's going in there 100%, and he's going to be at the top of his game, and he's well rested, and like yes, but. You know, again, we don't know, you know, we're not inside that fighter's body. We don't know exactly how everything feels. We don't know what he's going to be like, but I'm hoping for a hell of a fight. I hope both guys come out, you know, obviously unharmed as much as possible.
Yep.
In a hopefully flashy, amazing fight. It should be something. But yeah, if I agree with you, if Usman wins, it's not like, oh my goodness, like Buckley, he was all hype. No, I mean, like, you still have a great fighter in Usman, and dude's a champ. You like, you have to give champs the availability while they're still physically active that they can pull out wonderful stuff. If you were able to reach the top of the mountain and you defended the top of the mountain, you are capable of amazing things,
yep.
You know, until a point where your body won't let you do it or your mind won't let you do it. And I think he's not at that point, so he's capable of amazing things. So who knows what's going to happen, but I hope it's going to be a really, really fun fight. You know, I'm sure Atlanta's going to go crazy about this fight. You know, they're going to love it, man.
Yeah, I think it's a fun card. By the way, I will say, I'll throw it out there now. I just agreed last night to do a watch along with our friend Dennis from Submission Rant. I've never done a watch.
Look at that.
I've never done a watch along. I've never watched a watch along because usually I'm cage side or I'm calling fights somewhere. I'm busy. There's very few times that I'm just sitting at home. I'm like, I need to watch it. So. I don't even know how I'm supposed to act or what I'm supposed to do or what makes for a good watch-along. I actually told Dennis, I was like, bro, I'm happy to do it with you. I'm like, do you have the volume on? Like, you'll have to walk me through this. Like, I've never done it, and I've never watched one, but he said, he's like, I'd like to do one on Saturday. Would you do it with me? So I have agreed. So if you're hanging out on Saturday and you need somebody to watch the fights with or you want to just, you know, join in, I have some second screen experience, so to speak.
That's it.
Myself and Dennis will be watching over on Submission Radio.
I bet that's going to be fun. And now, you know, knowing that MMA Junkie Radio has a watch-along going on, I personally cannot
Fight night?
Wait, no, you're right. You're right. No, next week there is their watch-along. You're good.
Okay, so now you can watch.
So maybe I will watch it. Maybe. There's nothing like listening to some guys in another space while I'm, like, you know, just chilling, like, wait. Like, I forget sometimes because I'll put the radio on, and sometimes I listen, and sometimes I forget, and then it freaks me out because I'll walk out of the room and I'll hear somebody, like, talking. I was like, who the fuck is in there? And I was like, oh, never mind. It's George and Ghost.
That's funny, man.
But no, that's cool, man. Well, good for you. Look at you.
Yeah.
How can you even possibly fit anything else into your schedule? I just don't understand it.
I'm struggling, dude. I couldn't believe I said yes. You know what it was? I felt guilty for how many times he's invited me on the show, and I said no. That when he was like, when he hit me up, and I was like, I will be home, and I will be watching the fight, so why don't I just watch him with you? Yes, I guess I will. But I'm going to be honest. I instantly regretted it.
He gave me the puppy dog eyes. He's like. John, and you're like, fine.
Instantly regretted it. I was just like,
it's a long time. You know, it's a long time to be on.
He
you know, you
say,
guys just doing the main card? Or are you
no,
doing
we're actually doing main. And so this is part of it. We're actually doing the main and co-main event. So two fights. So
oh, that's good. That's nothing.
He said,
I think you start doing main card and stuff, and you're on for 3 hours or 2 hours. That's a long time to be on.
That's a long time.
You know,
it's a long time.
Yeah.
He Yeah, he said, hey, would you like to do me a huge favor and join me on for – and he did say, for a quick Kamaru Buckley main event to watch along. And I was like, main event only? And he was like, well, main and co-main event. We'll watch Rose Namajunas and Miranda Maverick as well. So I was like, all right. Nah, I like – Dennis is great, man. He's like, I'll do all the hard work. Okay. He's like, don't worry about it.
The play-by-play guy has to sit to the side. You'll enjoy that. So you'll just be like little bits of info and feedback.
It is the best. Whenever – you know, sometimes when I would do other broadcasts – I mean, now I'm play-by-play all the time, but every now and then, like, I would do broadcasts, and they'd be like – well, we've got our play-by-play guy. Like, are you okay just doing color? I'm like, am I okay just doing color? You're like, yeah, I am. Is the paycheck the same and I get to talk less? Like, yeah, I'm good to go. Let's do that. So
I will tell you my extensive experience in the LFC when I've had to sit up in the big chair. You know, I get it. You know, so I always relish being the color guy in our in our relationship over there at the LFC.
Hey, we may have some fresh lingerie fighting championship content coming soon, perhaps.
Hopefully so.
We won't tease the calendar too much. I know we've had some discussions. So I will be there for Rose Namajunas and Miranda Maverick as well. I'll be honest. I like Rose in that fight a lot. I mean, I like Rose overall at strawweight. And I know Miranda could provide some problems at fight. I just feel like speed and striking skills are going to be at a discrepancy here. So I like Rose Namajunas in that fight, but Miranda could. I mean, if Miranda can get in tight and make it dirty and ugly and, you know, grindy, like I think she could. You know, she could make this interesting. But I think that's going to be a challenge because Rose, when Rose is on, especially, man, she is.
That's it.
She's tough to deal with.
Yeah, when Rose is the Rose that we know, she's unstoppable. She's hard to beat. But, you know, I just wonder if sometimes I feel like you just got to see how she's feeling that fight week, you know, how she looks the fight night. And just see if she's there 100%, Rose is tough to beat. I just feel like it's not the same. It's not as guaranteed as it used to be, I think, with her. I think we still get these questions of, you know, is she still enjoying it? You know, does she even want to be there? You know, is she doing it because she, you know, has to or whatever? And it just feels like those motivations, you know, change the outcome a little bit. But Miranda, I think, like you said, if she makes it dirty and grungy, I think she can do it. And she's fighting great. She believes in herself. And I actually kind of bucked the trend of our stat picks, and I actually did take Miranda.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I went with the play. I'm not as, like, Rose used to be a lock for me, and now Rose isn't. I just kind of take it how it is, and right now I just gauge that Miranda is fighting really good for herself. So I let Miranda sort of change my mind, and so I went with that one. And I could be wrong, but also it's a play for me to try to catch up. I'm like four behind the leader, so I'm trying to catch up. So I might go five behind the leader after this one, but I'm trying to catch up.
I like it though, man.
You got staff picks.
You got to take some chances, right? And she's, you know,
this is a solid one that you could take a chance on, you know, for sure.
She's on a nice win streak, and it's, you know, it's not a bad play, to be honest with you. Like I said, because you're right, Rose is interesting because, like, I know she loves martial arts, and I know she loves training, but I don't think she likes fighting. I just think she's come to accept that in order to provide for herself and her family, this is the best way possible for her to make money, have a platform for her causes, and all those things. You know what I mean? So, interesting, man. Like you said, when she's executing, she's tough to deal with. But, you know, where does she stand? So, interesting co-main event as well. The rest of the card, look, this is a good card, man. Andre Petrosky versus Edmund Shahbazyan. Man, obviously, I've got an affinity for Andre Petrosky, but I like, I'll homer for Petrosky, but I like Edmund Shahbazyan as well.
Yeah.
And this, I think
he
this
likes
is pretty
you a lot to it.
I love him, man. He's a good dude, and I think this is one of those pretty clear fights that whoever's able to dictate what they do is going to win the fight, right? Like if this thing stays on the feet, Edmund Shahbazyan is going to win, and if this thing goes to the ground, Andre Petrosky is going to win, and it's just going to be managing those exchanges and those clinches and those distances. Yeah. And who's that to me seems pretty clear. Like it could go. This fight could easily go either way, but I think you know how it goes if the winner's winning. You know what I mean? It's just whoever dictates their game plan. So I like that. Cody Garbrandt, always want to tune in for Cody Garbrandt against Jeremy Barcelos. Cody, actually the underdog here. And, you know, obviously Cody, one of those guys, too, that hard not to cheer for him. You know what he's capable of when he's on. And, you know, but you don't know how he's going to look, right? I mean, he's just had kind of off nights or whatever. So I'm interested in that one as well. Mansur Abdul-Malik is back against Cody Brundage. Alonzo Minifield versus Umar C. Could have some very explosive fights right off the top of the main card. And then even going down to the prelims. Like, this is one of those cards that, you know, again, I know people talk trash about the Apex cards, but that means when they go on the road, they try to stack it up. And Paul Craig versus Adolfo Bellotto on the prelims, that's interesting. Michael Chiesa versus Court McGee, come on, man. Two old-school veterans of the game. Love that. Malcolm Wellmaker against Chris Moutinho could be a lot of fun. I like Cody Durden a lot. He's like this dude with a chip on his shoulder and a country twang. I like him against Jose Ochoa. That'll be fun. And it's just, I mean, all the way down, you know, Ricky Simon versus Cam Smotherman, Phil Rowe, Andre Los. And then starts out with the women's bout between Jamie Lynn Horth and Vanessa Demopoulos. So, honestly, man, the lineup looks good. Like, I don't see how this isn't a fun. I mean, again, in terms of rankings, you're talking about the top two, you know, mainly as having real impact in the rankings and that sort of thing. But overall, like, I think this is going to be a fun fight night.
Yeah, somebody was, I think it was in our Slack channel, they were talking about the Cody parlay of all the different Codys. And I was like, that could be an interesting, because there's Cody, there's like three Codys, I think, on the card or something like that. But speaking of Cody, and you're talking about the new looks, I think I had seen him recently because he was getting some work done at a doctor that I would do some work with.
Yep.
And he got the face tattoo.
Right.
Did you see the face tattoo? What did you think of that?
The face tattoo. It was a little
sword over the eye.
It's a little jarring. I mean, but when a man is when a man is completely tatted, like, in other words, like, you know, it's,
I know.
It's
funny because he's like, you know, I was sore, or I was getting work done like on my armpit or whatever, and the guy had to take a break, so I was just like, yeah, just tattoo my face while you're waiting or something. I was just like, that wouldn't be the thought that came to my mind. If you're like, but dude loves his tats, man. But yeah, man, he's a. I always hope the good things for him. It's gonna be a tough fight, man. Hione's the if he can weather that initial storm and keep that head movement. I mean, there was a point back in the day, man. Like, Cody was one of the guys people were saying had great boxing, great head movement, and he was just capable of great things. And then, you know, he had some losses and maybe some of that went away, and then dealing with things in and out. But being as an Ohio guy, I mean, I'm always going to homer for him, and it's tough. This was a tough one. Even though I think he does have a good chance, I 100% picked him in our staff picks. I was like, I can't not pick him, you know. I was like, I got a homer for my Ohio guys. I hope it for him. I mean, like, he's tried to turn his life and change it around these past years, you know, been rough, you know, and switch things. But he's now a Vegas resident. You know, he's all in. He's doing the right things. But saw him the other day, and he looked really good.
That's awesome,
you know,
man.
Just seeing somebody outside of the fight game is one thing. You just see someone, you see him, and they look fit, and you're like, wow, look great. Does that translate to how he looks in the cage? Not quite. But he looked healthy. He looked happy. He looked like his mind was in a good spot. So, yeah, I picked Cody. So I'm not feeling as bad about my homer pick. But that is a tough, tough fight. Everybody's chin changes as you get older and as you take shots, you know. So there's always the possibility that, you know, he could get a shot in his jaw and things could be over. But I'm hoping it goes the other way. As much as I try to stay unbiased and I wish both guys great things, but I would certainly be happy if he got a really good win. He could use it for sure.
100%.
Because it's the kind of thing that, you know, he's one of those guys that have been around for a while. You start racking up those losses, and at some point it's going to be the last time. So I hope this would not be that last time. So I'm hoping things work out well, but you never know. You never know. It's a tough one.
It is. It really is. Some intriguing storylines along with some very entertaining stylistic matchups on Saturday. So looking forward to that. I'll definitely be tuned in. I know you guys have some coverage on site. MMA Fighting will have some coverage on site since they didn't go on strike. So there'll be lots of coverage there. And, of course, you can –
there's still time. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. I guess we'll see them down there. Darn it.
You can watch along with me for the main and co-main. Hey, real quick, I want to give a quick, you know, positive vibes and thoughts for Ben Askren. I'm sure everybody's been seeing these stories, man. You know – combination, it sounds like, staff, flu. I saw Chael Sonnen said he has a hole in his lung, which is crazy. Ben Askren, you know, obviously we covered Ben Askren through his mixed martial arts career, and was always a good dude. You know what I mean? He was always a little quirky, of course, and always I don't say standoffish with the media, but that's just his style, I think. He likes to kind of push back a little bit as well. And so, you know, through his MMA career, liked the guy and had a lot of respect for him. And he had a great mixed martial arts career. It's unbelievable. But in working with CFFC Matchday and getting into the world of college wrestling, and I don't think, you know, until I worked with the Matchday crew, like, I mean, I always knew about college wrestling. I was aware of it, and I'd seen bits and highlights, but I didn't really entrench myself in it. And, you know, getting to work with Ben Askren and to do a lot with Missouri, of course, where he went to school, and just see the reverence. And, I mean, when you start really studying him, I mean, 153-8 in college. Like, that's insane. Ridiculous. I mean, that is insane. Back-to-back undefeated seasons, winning the titles in, like, you know, technical falls, because he's just like, where, I mean, it was crazy. Like, he wasn't just like edging, you know, scoring victories by inches and, oh, he outlasted by a point. I mean, he's teching dudes, like, just, you know, pinning them and putting up points on them. And it's just amazing. So his career is amazing. But so learning that was cool. But then we actually got to go on one of the trips and go to his academy and see him not only, teaching kids, which is great. I mean, all the, you know, kids of all ages, and obviously, you know, he had put people in NCAA championships and all this, but teaching the kids, and then also part of the practice, we were there for one of his practices, and like part of the practice was they had like a book review of, like, you know, this positive mindset kind of self-help, you know, drive type thing, where they had to read the chapter and come in and talk about what it meant. And, you know, so it's like, not only is he teaching your kid, you know, which, I mean, I think all kids should be training martial arts to some degree, and wrestling is a martial art, and learning to grapple, and it's, you know, it's good exercise, but it's also good for self-defense.
It's physical activity, which physical is activity, the best part of it.
Which is 100%, so all that's good. But then to also be taking time to also be teaching your kid philosophy and mindset of a successful person, and understanding that we're not training here. Like, yes, one out of 100 of you may end up wrestling in college, and we're laying the groundwork for you to maybe get a college scholarship. But what we're really trying to do here is to help you be a good human being out in society and to be successful in life. So to see that, it just touched me, obviously, as a father, and maybe not always the best example for my kid, but trying to give him at least the best examples and the best understanding of what to do, to see that, like, you would take your kids somewhere and they would not only be teaching them physical values, but mental, psychological, you know, successful strategies for life. I just thought it was cool, man. So to hear that he's suffering right now, and that, I don't even want to, you know, extrapolate where it could be going, but it doesn't sound particularly positive at the moment. Fortunately, he is a lifelong athlete, and he isn't a big partier, and he has taken care of his body. So you think that at least his body has all the core elements that it needs to try to fight all this stuff that he's dealing with right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously at the end of the day, science and medicine and whatever else, I mean, it just is what it is. But anyway, I just wanted to send out some positive thoughts and mention that, you know, in my brief interaction with him outside of just our normal core duties of being a mixed martial arts reporter, just seemed like a hell of a good dude, man. Just seemed like a hell of a good dude that is liked and respected by everybody around him, and was trying to do good in the world, not only just good for himself. You know what I mean? So, man, just not. I pray, you know, that he gets through this, man. It's just, it sucks to see.
Yeah, 100%. You said it great. I know. I won't elaborate more, but I know I was almost like crushed when I saw Kyle Bahio's tweet yesterday, and I don't know if he finally apologized or retracted that. I mean, I don't think that he put any malice. I know a lot of people are like, oh man, that was so mean of him.
I think he misinterpreted
it, I don't think it was anything, whatever, but I know I immediately started running to our channel and started looking for stuff. I was like, please no, and I was so glad that when everybody was like, no, it wasn't true, and I heard he was back home. So, you know, hopefully he can have a recovery from this. It's tough, man. especially when you know somebody's doing right by the kids these days and,
yeah.
and trying to be a good person. You know, you want beacons of light like that to be
yes.
around. And, yeah, I mean, he's very well respected in the sport. You know, there might be one-time competitors. People maybe talk shit about him, but I guarantee after the end of the day they respected him, you know, and he's always been a really good person. So, yeah, man, I can only imagine what his family's going through. So, yeah, definitely sending thoughts and lots of healing energy that way, man. I was so grateful that that tweet was bad. I felt there was a moment yesterday my heart sunk out because I haven't been paying the closest attention, so that when I saw it, I was like, oh, see, you dummy, you didn't pay attention, and look what happened. So I'm glad that it was. So hopefully we're going to hear some good news. And
it was tough because there was so much, like, weird misinformation out there. I would just tell everybody, yeah. if it is, a relevant, news item and story item to you, I would say, pay attention to DC and Chael. Those guys have direct lines of communication, and that wrestling community is tight, man. But the one thing I love about wrestling is so cool, like. Everybody knows everybody. It's like, well, I wrestled with him and his coach my coach, and it's just like this yeah. small, like, tight knit community, and they all know each other really well. So I would definitely yeah. say, kind of jokes aside, like, Chael, to rely on Chael Sonnen for news is not a good thing, because, like, he will literally just make things up for fun storylines, and if he thinks it makes the situation more interesting, if he thinks he's doing you a favor by telling a story that's not true about you, but he's doing it for the greater good because he thinks it'll make more people care about your fight, like, Chael will do yeah. that. He will just make shit up. That used to be one of the most maddening things during his prime fighting career, when people would write stories about Chael Sonnen says this, or, like, you'd go to a press conference and ask Dana, hey, Dana, can you elaborate? Because Chael said this, and you could see everybody in the room like, bro, you do realize, like, Chael just says stuff, you know what I mean? But in this particular situation, Chael, as part of the wrestling community, is very close with Ben Askren and his family. And so I would say him and Daniel Cormier are probably your two primary sources to know that, hey, this is the proper information that's out there. So
yeah,
I just
really
want to say,
know.
Yeah,
that's good to know.
Yeah,
that's good because they're you're right. There's a lot of other shit, and those guys aren't going to do that. They're not going
right.
to put something out there unless they know for sure, and the family's going to give them the okay. So if they're saying something, they're saying it from a point of authority.
100%.
That's good to know. I'm glad you reiterated that.
Yeah, they've got too much respect and care for the family and for Ben himself to do anything other. So, yeah, just want to send some good vibes, man. I like I said, I know we all knew Ben Askren, and I think the knockout to Jorge Masvidal was obviously one of those moments that people will remember forever, and it wasn't a great one. And I think people tried to minimize his career, but especially getting to not only really focus in on his college wrestling career and see how incredible it was, but then to also just see him in the community and what he's doing for the people around him. I mean, that's, like you said, you're so spot on, man. That's what we're looking for in life, man. And so I just want to send some positive energy his way. Not that it'll, I don't know if it'll make any difference or how the world works, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt, right?
It doesn't hurt. There you go.
If anything else, it doesn't hurt. Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't hurt to do that.
Doesn't hurt. All right. Well, listen. All right. Everybody enjoy the fights this weekend. Oh, got to figure out and a half episode this week. I guess maybe I'll pull a solo, or maybe we'll do it on Sunday. I fly to Cancun on Monday. I actually me and the family are heading down to Cancun. It's my father-in-law's.
Just fly me down there. We'll just
do it
down
on down there.
We'll
come on,
do it on location.
I like where your head's at on that one.
In Cinco de Media or whatever. I don't know.
Media. we're going down there. We're gonna go have a little fun in Cancun, and then my wife and kid are gonna travel on back to San Luis Potosí to visit the rest of the family,
and I'll
come back to Vegas. So we'll either do something, either I'll go solo, so don't bother you on a Sunday, or we'll get together Sunday or something. We'll figure that out. But everybody, enjoy the fights. Have a good weekend, and thanks for listening.
It It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.